then after the evening arti and this song, and we usually have a reading from one of our books, like Bhagavad Gita. So I can just read some few words from the Bhagavad Gita, and I can introduce some slides. Actually, this is a similar program. You can do any in your own home also. Expect you're doing.
Sometimes.
Some kirtan and then some reading from the books. So after chanting, then you're ready to hear. You know, your mind becomes clear a little bit, and you can begin to absorb something from these books. So this is a song that we sing before reading this Bhagavad Gita.
Thank you.
This tongue twister. This is called Sanskrit. Sanskrit language. Sarvasya.
Sarvasya.
Of all living beings.
Of all living beings.
This is a translation of those words.
Cha.
Cha. And. Aham.
Aham.
I. Vidi.
Vidi.
In the heart.
In the heart.
Sannivishtaha.
Sannivishtaha.
Situated.
Situated.
Mataha.
Mataha.
From me.
From me.
Smriti.
Smriti.
Remembrance.
Remembrance.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Apavanam.
Apavanam.
Forgetfulness.
Forgetfulness.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Vedai.
Vedai.
By the Vedas.
By the Vedas.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Sarvai.
Sarvai.
Oh.
Oh.
Aham.
Aham.
I am.
I am.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vedaha.
Vedaha.
Noble.
Noble.
Vedanta Creed.
Vedanta Creed.
The compiler of the Vedanta.
Compiler of the Vedanta.
Vedavit.
Vedavit.
The knower of the Vedas.
The knower of the Vedas.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Aham.
Aham.
I. So this, now I'm going to read the whole translation so that it makes sense. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. So this verse was spoken to Arjuna, Krishna's friend, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago. And Prabhupada, our guru, recently, some some explanations and to help us understand Krishna consciousness. So generally when we have a class, we read the sloka just like that. And then someone reads the translation out, and then someone reads the purport. It's called purport, the commentary. And then if you have anything to say, or if you can explain anything, then you can also speak. But this way you can read these books. Every evening you can read a few of these lines. I find it's very interesting. Just if you read in this way, and you repeat, just like I've been repeating, you'll find that this is the process of bhakti yoga, called Shravanam Kirtanam. You don't have to be a big scholar or, you know, have your head shaved or anything. But anyone can read these books in this way, and you'll get a lot of benefit from it. It's very nice. So I'll just read it through, and then I'll try and say a few words before the slideshow. Because I think this will lead into the slideshow. That's why I chose this book. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from Him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual heart. He awards the different fruited results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnations of the Vedas as well. The Vedas, it means the Vedic scriptures, the books, like Bhagavad's book, one of the Vedas. The Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna, in his incarnation as Vyasadeva, is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of the Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuffs, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of Vedas, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, sorry, I missed a comment. I'll read that again. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of Vedas, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus God is all good. God is all merciful. Antapravishta shashta jnananam jananam. The living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does the living entity enjoy or suffer in this world according to the dictation from the Supreme Lord, situated locally in the heart, but he receives the opportunity to understand the Vedas from him. If one is serious about understanding the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. Why does he present the Vedic knowledge for understanding? Because a living entity individually needs to understand Krishna. Vedic literature confirms this. Yo so sarve Veda giyate. In all Vedic literature, beginning from the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and Puranas, the glories of the Supreme Lord are celebrated. By performance of Vedic rituals, discussion of the Vedic philosophy and worship of the Lord in devotional service, he is attained. Therefore the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing Him. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra 114 confirms this in the following words, Tattu Samanvayat. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing the different processes, one can approach him, and at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the purpose of the Vedas, the understanding of the Vedas, and the goal of the Vedas are clearly defined. Savasya chaham ridhi sanidhisto matak smitam gyanam upanam cha vedashta savaham eva vejo vidam tukrit vedavid eva chaham. So Krishna says he's seated in everyone's heart. And another example is given, just like sometimes in a tree, you'll see two birds in a tree. And one bird is pecking at the fruits of a tree. Say it's an apple tree. So he's pecking at the fruits of the apple or the pear tree. And the other bird is just watching and waiting. So Krishna is called Paramatma or Super Soul. He's just watching and waiting. So every life we change to a new tree. And when this body dies, according to Bhagavad Gita, we take another body. So it's called transmigration of the soul. We're not this body, we're a spiritual person, separate from this body. We're the owner of the body. At the time of the death, we leave this body. And then according to our karma, or our previous activities, as assessed by Krishna, who's watching and watching as the other bird, he transfers us into another tree where we can enjoy pecking the fruits of the tree. So every lifetime we forget our previous life, and every lifetime we wake up in another family, in another body, in another country, in another situation altogether. We get a new language, we get a new education, and so on and so forth. Sometimes with a cat or a dog or a human being, or even a tree, or an insect. But all the time Krishna is with us, as our real friend. And he's reminding us how we should act, what we should do, what we should say, who we should be. According to our previous desires from previous life, we carry on in the next life. So therefore Krishna is called our greatest friend. Whatever we want, if we want to, whatever kind of pleasure we desire, he'll give us a body to satisfy that desire. So from that information we can understand that we must have desired to have a human body. Because why have we got a human body? Those people who have trees' bodies, they must have desired to stand without any clothes in the cold winter and in the summer. And those people who have pigs' bodies, they must have desired to eat abominable things. If you go to India, you'll see the pigs eat the stool. People pass stool in the field, and then the pigs will go and eat it. So those pigs have had a desire to taste strong food. Therefore they've been given a body just to taste that strong food. Also in India there's tigers. And tigers, they like to taste fresh blood. Hot, fresh blood. So those people who've got tiger bodies, they desire to taste hot, fresh blood. See, so they got a body to taste hot, fresh blood. And those people who have bird bodies, they desire to fly. Sometimes you think, oh, it would be nice to fly off the top of the building, or fly off the top of the mountain. And you can imagine yourself swooping down through the trees. Actually, we've done that before. It is said that before coming to human life, we've lived in 8,400,000 different species of life, according to the Vedas. Vedic scriptures say that we've already lived in so many species of life. But when we get to the human form of life, that is very special. Why? Why? Because in the human form of life, you get opportunity to hear this message of the Vedas. Hear the message of the Vedas. Vedas means knowledge. Knowledge of God. So, of course here in England, the Vedic knowledge is coming in the form of the Bible. And in Islamic countries coming in the form of the Quran. So there's always some kind of Vedic knowledge. But mostly when we say the Vedas, we refer to this like Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, and so many other books, which are very perfect books of knowledge. So, in the human form of life, which is a very special form of life, we get this chance to begin to understand who we are, that we're not actually this body, that we're not actually belonging in this world, but we have a higher purpose, a higher destination. So, you can see all over the world, and even here in England, that people are not very much concerned with Vedic knowledge. Their only concern is with, you know, getting a better standard of living. Getting better eating, better sleeping, better sex life, and better fighting, better defending. Eating, sleeping, and mating, defending. These are called animal propensities. These are the things that animals do. Everyone does these things. If you're a pig, you do these things. If you're a tiger, you do these things. If you're a cow, you eat, you sleep, you mate, and defend. Everyone does these things. But in a human form of life, it's expected that you take some interest in something which is beyond all these bodily necessities. And this is called Vedic society. Vedic society. So, this Hare Krishna movement was started by Prabhupada in order to spread Vedic culture, which means a culture based on spiritual goal. If you ask Margaret Thatcher what's the goal of Great Britain, she'd probably say, well, you know, we've got to have a higher standard of living by 1990, I expect every person's got to have a car, 100% employment, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't know anything beyond this lifetime. She doesn't know what is the soul and where it's going. She doesn't realize that in her own next life she may be in some abominable species of life. One moment you may be prime minister, the next minute you may be a frog.
If she's lucky.
So we don't know. I don't want to make any personal assessments. I don't know her personally. But the leaders of society, they have a great responsibility for uplifting the people. And the kings and queens and presidents of human society, if they lead the people into irreligion, they have to suffer for that. But if they lead them back to Godhead, back to Krishna, then they get the benefit. So we can see actually that there's not much effort is being made to lead people to understand God. And actually this is going on all over the world. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada tried to rectify this by starting this Hare Krishna movement. And he came to America and he started opening so many temples, so many disciples came. And then he brought some of his disciples back to India. That was in 1970-71. He brought the first American disciples back to India. And they did a tour of India. And Prabhupada started building big projects in India with American money that was collected in America. He decided to build our headquarters in Mayapur, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and build a big temple in Vrindavan, where Krishna was born. And sometime you can go to India and see all these places. They're very beautiful temples. And in 1976 or 1977, he expressed the desire to Prabhupada Vishnu Swami, my friend, that we should open a temple in Nepal, which is called the Hindu Kingdom. Actually, already in 1971, another sannyasi, another Swami devotee had been there, Gagamuni Swami, and he tried to open a center there. But he wasn't successful. And also another Swamis were there, Rishikeshananda Swami, Devananda Swami, also there. And they tried to open the center there. But they also had problems. Anyway, the slideshow I'm going to show is going to show you something about what is Vedic culture. Because these people in Himalayas, actually they naturally lead a religious life. I'm not saying they're all pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. But generally in their daily life, they have some connection with God or Krishna. And it's very interesting to see the way they live. And you can get some idea of the depth of what is Vedic culture. How we can live our whole life. We may be housewives, we may bring up children, we may be workers, we may be policemen, we may be whatever we are. We can do it with our mind and our heart fixed on Krishna. This is Vedic culture. So let's show this slideshow now. In Pashupati, it's a famous temple. You can see the... of course, Lord Shiva is part of Vedic culture. Lord Shiva is one of the incarnations of Lord Krishna. He's called Guna Avatar. It means that he's in charge of the Tamagun. And this is Nandi, the bull. See, big bull, backside of a big bull. He's the carrier of Lord Shiva. When Lord Shiva and Parvati, his wife, they go out on the back of Nandi. There's Ganesh, you can see. Moons. Sun, this is the moon, Chandra. Surya. And this is, focus a little bit. I'm not sure how this is. You see this sign here? It says, for Hindus only. That means if you've got white skin, you can't go in. Because you're not a Hindu. That's what they say. And at the top here is a sculpture of Lord Shiva. It's called Girish. Girisha. Girisha, he's always seated in the Himalayas. And Ganga is coming from the heavenly planets, is onto his head. This is called a Trishul, this three-pronged fork. So we worship Lord Shiva also as the greatest Vaishnava, as the greatest servant of Lord Vishnu. Vaishnava means servant of Lord Vishnu. So we say, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. We worship Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava, or the greatest devotee of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. But people in Nepal, they don't worship Lord Shiva as a devotee of Lord Krishna, but they think he's the supreme. Okay, next one. So here's another
talk.
Another sadhu smoking his chilla. And he's wearing this tilak of worship of Lord Ramachandra. He's a Ram Baba.
Why is he having smoke then if he's servant of Ramachandra?
Exactly. They don't follow strictly. They don't actually follow strictly the principles of religion. It's all kind of mixed up there. It's a hodgepodge. Followers of real religion. It's become very degraded. They think that if you just by smoking some hash, then you'll become advanced. A bit like the hippies. But actually, this is not true. But if you go to Nepal, you may get misled. That's why I'm showing these pictures. Don't get misled by these people that they can help you in spiritual life. They can't. Wherever you take ganja, wherever you take hashish, it won't help you in spiritual life. It'll just stick you more in the modes of ignorance and make you forget Krishna ultimately. So here's a nice devotee. This is our kirtan, and this Ram Bhakta was joining in the kirtan. He's a real Vaishnava. He wasn't taking any drugs or anything. Very nice sadhu. So this is Muktinath, way up in the Himalayas, a famous temple called Muktinath. Muktinath is a form of Lord Vishnu. And the trekkers, those people, tourists who go to Nepal, they climb up for 5, 6, I think it takes 8, 9 days to get up there. It's at about 18,000 feet, this temple. Our next one. This is the deity of Muktinath. Way up in the Himalayas. Form of Lord Vishnu. Muktinath means the Lord of liberation. One who can free us from this material world. Shows typical trekking scene in the Himalayas. Many people come there and they go trekking up the mountains. I have never been up there, but this is a shot from a book. I took a shot from. But it shows what it's like up there. Very purifying to go up there. Krishna says, Stavaranam Himalaya, of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So if you do go up there, then you can see how great Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna is, how powerful he is, just by looking at the mountains. Next one. This is a path. These are Sherpas. These are Sherpas, they're going up the mountain with the mules. And on the mules they've got rice and salt. And some of these are going over the mountains to Tibet, into China. And they're carrying stuff over into China. This is a stone carving, a murti, of universal form, Virata Rupa, of Krishna. You read in Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. So this is a form of Krishna.
How old is that?
At least probably hundreds of years old. It's Ananta Sesh, the Buddha. There's a lot, it's very nice carvings and sculptures there. Go. This is a peacock window. In some of the houses they have beautiful windows carved like this. It's made of wood and there's no glass. It's just look out through the crack. I'm told this is one of our devotees. He's climbing up to Muktanath, Astarada, going up the Himalayas. In the Himalayas you get these shalagram shilas, this form of Lord Vishnu in the form of a stone, black stone. So he went up to get these shalagram shilas from the river near Muktanath. He's a Tibetan. They have a different kind of features. Different kind of eyes, the Chinese slanting eyes. They're mostly Buddhist. There's a lot of Tibetan Buddhists in Kathmandu. In the middle, she's a lady, Mataji. They wear these red robes, the Buddhists. And they also do japa. They have 108 beads and they do japa. Instead of Hare Krishna, they say Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, and other mantras also. This is big Buddhist stupa, which is like it's like a temple. It's meant for meditation on Lord Buddha, or meditation on God. And they walk around this big stupa. You'll see in the next shot. It's very tall. And they walk around this. And these are prayer wheels. And on this, each wheel, it has a spindle on it. And it has Om Mani Padme Hum written on it. And you run your hand along here. And you get them all spinning around like that. So you're chanting on your beads. Om Mani Padme Hum. At the same time, you get them also chanting Om Mani Padme Hum. So all the Buddhists, they go around. They do the circuit a few times every day. There's a Buddhist priest or Lama. Buddhist priest. They're not vegetarian, by the way. Lord Buddha, he's the ninth incarnation of Krishna. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he comes to spread ahimsa, or non-violence. And he wanted to stop the killing of animals. But the Buddhists in Nepal so degraded that they even offer meat to Lord Buddha. They say, oh, if someone else kills the animal, then there's no harm. So, you know, they're really tough nuts to crack, you know, these people. There you go. So there's Buddhist Sankirtan. The big horns and black. Sometimes play drums and also do some kirtan.
Wow.
Hold the Lord Buddha. Of course, Lord Buddha is Krishna. And you'll find that in Nepal, Buddhists and Hindus, they mix. There's no argument, no fighting. They both go to the same temples here. Shringadeva Bhagavan Ki. This is just inside the king's palace door. It's Murti of Nisringadeva and Hiranyakashipu. Like I was explaining, we sing that song, how this big demon was killed by Krishna in the form of half man, half lion. This is the form of half man, half lion. You can see he's ripping aside his intestines out. You can see his sword here, a smashed sword here. Chakra and this club. Very nice deity. Made of black marble. Shingadeva Bhagavan Ki. This is Jagannath. This is Jagannath in a very dilapidated state. Many of the temples there are not being properly looked after. And he only gets very meager treatment, not very well looked after. Water coming through the roof and everything. But we can't do anything because this is owned by a trust, and the trust won't let foreigners in, and you know, what can we do? But there's many temples that are not well looked after in Nepal. And the government isn't very interested half the time in looking after these temples. Does something, but not much. Oh. This is Ganesh. There's many deities of Ganesh in the street, and they're very popular. People worshipping Ganesh for success, all kinds of success. Success in business, success in marriage, success in this, success in that. But we worship Ganesh for success in developing love of Krishna. So whatever god there is, whatever demigod or devata, we worship. We respect. The Vaishnava respects all demigods because he sees them as servants of Krishna. So we see Ganesh as servant of Krishna and we pray to him, please let us be successful in our devotional service. So this is a Rathyatra festival in Kathmandu. And I think this is a Rathyatra festival of Kumari. It was a form of Devi, or the wife of Lord Shiva. They're very enthusiastic about this festival. Most of them are drunk. Many Nepali people wear these little hats. They're very nice people, actually. Very friendly. And enthusiastic about religious ceremonies. That's what I was trying to say. Their lives are centered around these different ceremonies, and everything they do is in some way connected with Krishna, directly or indirectly. It's Krishna conscious in some degree. There's another Rathyatra card. The huge one, it goes way, way up. Lift it up a little. See how high it is. This is to Lord Indra, the god of rain. Especially the farmers. If you're a farmer, you depend on the rain, so you take part enthusiastically in this Rathyatra ceremony when you take Indra around. And they have to take all the telegraph wires down, the electric wires down. And it just goes right through the city. Really amazing. I said it's too much, you can't believe it. It takes about 2 weeks to get through the city. Lots of the traffic and everything. So, she's called the Living Goddess. And she's a young girl before puberty. And she's chosen to be the Living Goddess. And she's installed as a goddess for a couple of years, or 1 year at least. And somehow or other she's given mystic powers. There's so many tantric things going on in Nepal, casting all kinds of spells and different kinds of magic going on. So this, by tantric processes, she becomes a living goddess for 1 year, and people worship her and get benedictions from her. And then it's said that after 1 year, after she's been a living goddess, that anyone who marries her, if she becomes married afterwards, then her husband will die very shortly. So she doesn't get much of a chance to get married. Anyway, next one. She said, folk dancer in Nepal. There's many tourists come to Kathmandu, and they do all this folk dancing for the tourists. There's my friend Prabhavishnu Swami coming around the corner. These are Nepali ladies. See how they dress? They have, especially for religious occasions, they wear a red blouse and red sari, and their hair parted in the middle, and then that one plait coming down with the tassels on. This is a Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam class in the village where our land is. He's a Brahmin. He's reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone's listening. See, the stone, this is just mud brick. It's not baked. It's just mud, dried mud. And they build a house out of mud, that mud. This is rice fields. This is the straw from the rice. There's bamboo. You see how the women, they wear this red tila? Okay. This is a bathing ceremony. This is Mother's Day. Mother's Day in Nepal. There's this one fountain, place where everyone goes and takes bath on this day. Especially the women, but the men also go. Nobody minds, it's just everyone takes bath. Nobody goes naked. Everyone has some form of clothing on. The women, they just get their whole sari soaking wet. And then they just change to a new sari. This man has a shaved head. This means that his father has died. Every year on the anniversary of his father's death, then he'll shave his head. In mourning period, they wear white. White hat, white everything, white. He's just having some talk in the street. But often they sit like this. They just sit like this and talk for hours. I have to change the interlude now.
Baskets, red straw, grease.
People are very poor there. They don't have much money for clothes. Or people in the villages are very poor. It's typical. See, they don't have to buy clothes which are ragged. They can't afford clothes which are not ragged. I've seen people in Oxford Street there. They buy jeans which look old and rough. They've got plenty of money in their pocket. This guy doesn't have any money. But a lot of people there, they have a little land. They have enough, you know, a quarter of an acre of land, and they can grow some rice and vegetables. These little things are little Buddhist stupas. Well, selling blankets to the tourists. Mm-hmm. You can go buy nice blankets and chalice there. Mm-hmm. All homemade in the village. Quite cheap price. This is called Gandaki River, where it comes down to the Himalayas. All holy river. These are the tourists on. They go to one place called Safari Park, where they can see the wild animals like the rhinoceroses and the lions, and they pay, you know, $100 a day, and they go and see the elephants and the tigers and everything in the jungle. It's called Hotel Elephant Camp. This is a village up in the Himalayas. I think it's a Buddhist village. The devotee's taking bath, traveling Sankirtan. It's pretty cold in that place. This is the place where Valmiki, he wrote Ramayana. Heard of Ramayana? Well, Valmiki lived about 1.5 million years ago in the jungle. He went there. It's a very nice place. It's in Nepal. This is a kirtan in one of the villages. All the people joining in. This boy's from Germany. He's called Sudeshna. It's Madhai Das. This is Raja Govinda. And he's a local Vaishnava.